Blog Talk Radio.
Makes you feel self-conscious, weak, scared, concerned for the rest of the day is just how you feel when you do that favor for somebody and you thinking to yourself, like, I didn't mean to help you do nothing like that. We're going to get into it. Urban Therapy with Sun, Sun 752. And this is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. We do this every single Saturday from 1 p.m. till around 12:30-ish. And the reason that we say 12:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is a Saturday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I am your host, Sun 752. A.K.A. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. And this morning on crisp Saturday morning, March 26th, we are talking about like wiping your face with a mildew rag. You didn't expect. You expected to wipe your face or to do something clean, and you wound up feeling dirty and self-conscious about it all day. Has anybody ever asked you to do a favor for them that you knew wasn't all the way right, that you knew wasn't all the way clean. But maybe you thought like, okay, this person would never, this person is trustworthy. So even if you've seen them do some untrustworthy stuff to somebody else, you figured that they would never try to do anything like that to you. And you may have been right up until this point. But they ask you to do a favor for them. And when you wound up doing the favor for them, you realize that they made you culpable. They made you actually an accomplice into their little scheme. It didn't necessarily have to be a crime, but they involved you in a situation that you would rather have not been involved in. I'm going to give you an example. And this is an example that may seem extreme to some of y'all, but it's one that you may also be able to relate to. And it may be one that has happened to you in recent times or at some point in your life. Let's say that you had a friend or a family member that was married. They've been married to their spouse years and years and years. Now, you cool with their spouse and everything. Not saying that you and their spouse is like, real close or whatever, but the bottom line is that you do know their spouse and you cool with them and you good with the whole fam. All right, so this friend or this family member asked you to take them to the airport. Now, they have a whole spouse that drives, but for some reason, they don't want you to take them. They don't want their spouse to take them to the airport. So you're like, all right, well, you know, what time you got to go? Oh, I need to be at the airport. My plane leaves at, let's say, 1 o'clock. Okay, so I should pick you up around 10? Like, yeah, 10 o'clock is good. All right, so we'll have plenty enough time to get to the airport. So when you go to pick them up, you're like, all right, you ready to go? Yeah, yeah. You're loading up the car with the bags and all that kind of stuff. You're taking them to the airport. They may be going on a trip or whatever. And maybe the reason that they didn't, maybe the reasons that they gave you that their spouse wasn't taking them to the airport is because maybe they were busy. Maybe they had to work. Maybe it would have been an inconvenience. So this is really a favor that you're doing for them in lieu of spouse doing the same favor for them or the same service for them, which actually makes sense. So while y'all on your way to the airport, they ask you to make a stop real quick. You're like, okay. You're thinking like maybe they want you to go to a store or something like that. They want to pick up something. Some snacks or something like that on their way to the airport. So they want to have some snacks while they're in the terminal and all that kind of stuff. Remember, back in the day, you used to be able to wait with a person in the airport. You can't do that anymore. You drop them off and keep it moving. You can't come into the airports anymore like before. Okay. I want to draw the story out. So they tell you where they want you to make a stop with. They're directing you. And guess what happens? They take you to the spot where they are actually picking up somebody who they are going to the airport with. And you find out that, oh, now you know the reason that they didn't want their spouse to take them to the airport. Because they're going on this trip with somebody else. Now, here you are, the driver. You're the driver. You didn't know that you were going to be the driver. They didn't give you any warning. When they asked you to take them to the airport, they didn't say, yeah, well, this is what it is. I need you to take me to the airport because I'm going on a trip with somebody else that's not my spouse, that's not my girl, that's not my man or whatever. And, you know. So I need to keep this on the low. They could have told you that. You may have still given them the help, but now they sprung this shit on you, and it's like wiping your face with a mildew rag. You thought that you were doing something clean. You thought that you were doing something nice. You thought that you were doing a favor for a friend or a family member. And you wound up being an accomplice to an adulterous situation. And they looking at you like, good looking out. And you looking at them like, It might not have been a situation where you were unaware that your peoples was a cheater. You may have known that they mess around on the side or whatever the case may be, but you never thought in a million years that they would involve you. And look what happened. Look what happened. They directly involved you. Put you right in the, there's no way I can say that I didn't know about this category. How you like that? You don't like that, do you? Yeah. Yeah. It stinks. It stinks, right? Like wiping your face with a mildew rag. When you wipe your face with a mildew rag, you thought that the rag that you was wiping your face with was clean. You expecting to smell the fragrance of fabric softener, downy, bounce, at least gain, cheer. Do they have cheer anymore? Is that still a laundry detergent? Tide, Arm & Hammer, whatever. Instead, you see that somebody that left this rag in the washing machine too long, and they still tried to dry it, and it came out of the dryer still with that stench. Surprise! Surprise, nigga! You didn't know. Well, now you know. And it's all over you. Now, more than likely, you're not going to snitch. You're not going to tell. You're not going to out your people or your person. You're not going to do that. But you are upset with them, and you know that you're going to have a conversation with them about this at another date. But right now, they're on their way to the airport. The two of them, they in the car with each other like, yeah, you know, like, yeah. So we going blah, 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 blah. They acting like this ain't no crime. This ain't no thing. Has you wondering, does this person even know that this person is married or involved with somebody else? Because it sure doesn't seem like there's any concern about that going on here. Ain't none of that concern popping off right here. So for the rest of the day, after you drop them off to the airport, now, listen, there's different ways you may have played this out. You may have played it out like, all right, well, I'm just going to make the best of this or whatever because I'm going to mind my business. And you may have caught a straight attitude while you're on your way to the airport or the train station or whatever the case may be. So you may have just stayed quiet while they busted it up with each other and you know, and just making niceties towards each other and all lovey-dovey, and you like. Maybe you didn't want to be the one who could say that they knew that a spouse was cheating on another spouse. Maybe you didn't want to be a part of that. You may have other things going on in your life, and this may be a trigger for you. You know, like let's say you were just embroiled in a situation where there was infidelity or whatever, and now you looking at this like, wow, ain't nobody true no more, ain't nobody loyal no more, ain't nobody faithful no more. Don't nobody even give a shit no more. I just picked this man or this woman up from their house and was just talking to their spouse or talking to their girl, talking to their woman, talking to their man, talking to their whatever. They just kissed their wife or their husband goodbye. Like, all right, babe, well, I'm going to call you when we touch down and, you know what I mean, blah, 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 blah. The whole scene just played out. I just watched the whole scene. All of this based on a lie. And now here I am part of that lie. I'm an accomplice. Like wiping your face with a mildew rag. Which you know. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm your host, Sun 752, and we talking about like wiping your face with a mildew rag. Shout out to all my people who have tried to get away with wearing a mildew shirt. They figure, nah, I smell it a little bit, but ain't nobody really gonna smell this. You stink, man. You stink. And the thing about wearing a mildew piece of clothing, everybody who comes close to you can smell that shit. But guess what? Ain't nobody saying nothing. The likelihood that somebody during the day will say, listen, man, that shirt you wearing stink. Like it smelled like mildew. You need to change your shirt. On your lunch break, go over to Family Dollar, whatever, get a t-shirt or something like that. But, you know, if ain't nobody else going to tell you, I'm going to tell you. It's for some reason, when it comes to a mildew shirt or mildew whatever article of clothing, people don't say nothing. But guess what? Everybody says something behind closed doors. Everybody says something on the low. Everybody says something behind your back. Like, yo, such and such must not dried that shirt or that jacket or that or those pants or whatever is going on. They smell like mop water, and that ain't good. I ain't talking about the good mop water with the disinfectant. I'm talking about the shit that looks and sounds infected. I mean, I should say looks and smells infected. Grits and wavy and grits, I said, are grits and wavy and grits, I said, are grits and wavy and grits, I think you're coming on through, and you know that you're the shh. And my brother from another mother, Norris Hill, sit back, relax, do your thing, max and chill. And Emily Dunlap is in the house. Bow! She about to turn it out. And T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going right and directly into your sight. And Sucre, Chatois, thanks for coming on through. And thanks for stopping on by. So do y'all understand what I'm talking about? Y'all feel me? You think that you're doing something good for somebody, something nice for somebody, even just a regular favor. It ain't no big deal. You're doing something for them that they would easily do for you. And you know this for a fact because maybe they've done it for you before. And it winds up being a trick to get you to help them do something that you might have done it if you had knowledge of it, but you would have done it with the knowledge of that, of what you were doing, and it would have made a difference because you could have thought about it, processed it, and decided how much of an impact it was going to make on you. But they didn't give you that shot. They didn't give you that chance in this example. They brought your lamb ass right to the slaughter. Took your wool and made lamb chops out of your ass. Rack of lamb, leg of lamb, a lamb. They made a gyro out of your ass. They made a gyro out of your lamb ass and wearing a sweater out of your wool. How you love that? Lamb chop. So that's what we talking about. I said that's what we talking about. Let me see. Kristen Wavy says, just don't tell me anything because I'm not keeping up with your life. Interesting. Narcel says, unforeseen complicity to commit adultery. I would be livid. I would talk so much shit that they would be on pins and needles for the whole time they were gone. Well, here's the thing, Narcel. The reason why they did it, they may have done it with you or to you in the first place is because they knew you wasn't going to tell. They know for a fact that you're going to keep your mouth shut. So in that fact, they have basically taken you for granted. They know you're not going to tell on them. They know it. Even if you are mad at them, they know for a fact you're not telling. You are not going to tell because that's just not you. Which is the reason that they chose you. That's the reason that they chose you. They know you 100%. Even if you have a fallout with them, even if you're mad as hell at them, even if the chips are down and you may feel threatened. They know you ain't going to tell because they know you ain't no snitch. They know you ain't no tattletale. They know you don't have it in you to be that type of man. Yeah, but you're right. You might threaten them, but they know you ain't going to tell. They know for a fact. And you ain't. And that's the thing about it. You feel bad about it because you know you ain't going to tell. Motherfucker. They know I ain't going to tell. I know I ain't going to tell. But I'm going to be mad as hell. And I am mad as hell. Yeah, I'm mad. I got a right to be mad. I just got played. I just got played by my loved ones. And you know that nobody can play you like a loved one. Tell me I'm lying. Nobody can make you feel played like a loved one can. And you know why? Because you know if you get played by your loved one, you're going to get played again. You may have had a history of being played. The thing about it is that a loved one will make it up to you. They will play you, make up for it, maybe even make up for playing you even better than when they played you. So y'all got like a tumultuous situation going on, a little bit volatile. You know, you got a situation where y'all argue, fuss, and fight. But when it all comes down to it, y'all love, affection, and loyalty and respect for each other shines through. So even though y'all might fight each other, maybe even physically, you won't let nobody else fight them. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is my Roadrunner, and I am the coyote to this Roadrunner. Don't nobody chase that motherfucker except for me. Act like you know. Stand down. But your loved one done put you in this situation right here. Your loved one done made you feel like you done got yourself in trouble with a liked one. Now, wait a minute. Now, I don't want to spend all day on this scenario. That wasn't my intention. So let's keep it moving because there are other ways, plenty of other ways that it can feel like you wiped your face with a mildew rag. Because just like we were talking about somebody helping you to cheat on somebody or at least making you an accomplice to that. I don't know if y'all have ever grown up with somebody that was a shoplifter. Have you ever grown up with somebody, a cousin, a friend, next door neighbor, classmate or whatever, that stole all the time and you didn't know? You didn't know? Have you ever met somebody that was fly as hell? They always had the latest and greatest shit. And you was like, damn, I don't know what they do for a living, but they got it going on. Only to find out later on that they were a booster or they peoples was boosters. You're like, damn. That used to happen a lot back in the day. When I was in high school, you meet somebody, you're like, damn, they always keep the freshest gear, the live as clothes. Got everything. And you find out that they peoples was taking orders. They lived in South Philly, going door to door, like, yo, what you need? You want a pair of Jordan Sergio Valente Chardons or some Barinellis or do you need some Gloria Vanderbilts or whatever you need, Guess New Silk, whatever you need, Sergio Tacchini in the Taiwan, yo, we can have fun. Or Adidas suit, leather Adidas suit. Do you need that shit, troops? I got everything that you could ever want. You can have this little Mickey Mouse sweater. Don't front Coca-Cola. Yeah, this year, that shit is in style. Yo, we gonna go wild. You found out that they was a shoplifter or associated with shoplifter. Anyway, you go shopping with them, and that's how you found out that they was a shoplifter. Y'all might have, okay, you know what? I'm going to make it innocent. I ain't even want to talk about going into the department stores. You go in Woolworths with them. Remember Woolworths? Remember FW Woolworths? Remember the Five and Dime Woolworths? No, Woolworths. You went in Woolworths with them. They came out with all kinds of shit from the Woolworths. You're like, yo, I didn't even see you buy nothing. You went to the counter? They like, I got it, didn't I? They done came out with Dunkin' Yo-Yos, Elmer's glue, 72 color crayon boxes. You know what I'm saying? A new dart gun for their little brother. Remember the little dart gun that used to have the little, that used to shoot the suction cup? You know what I mean? It was a dart gun that, you know, you could shoot the little dart, the little suction cup dart bullets on the walls. You go pull a suction cup off the wall, reload your gun. They done stole all this shit from Woolworth. Who knows what I'm talking about, the Woolworth? You found out this person still. And you was just with him. Good thing they got away with it. But you feeling some kind of way. Because if y'all would have got caught, then it would have looked like both of y'all came in there to steal shit and you wasn't on that tight time. Yeah. Yeah, you wasn't on that tight time. But guess what? You type here. But you like, damn, this is a nice yo-yo. Look at this. You doing all kinds of tricks with the yo-yo. You doing a butterfly with the yo-yo. You doing a walking the dog with the yo-yo. They might even bought you a pair of click-clackers. You know you couldn't resist a pair of click-clackers. Clacker, 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 clacker. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The balls do this. Fast. Clacker, 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 clacker. People who couldn't do the clackers. Messing up their wrists, they wrists all bruised up and all that shit because they couldn't do the clackers. They couldn't do the clackers. I could do the clackers. Could you do the clackers? I could do the clackers. They stole all that shit out of Woolworth. You didn't know they still like that. It can get worse. It can get worse. Okay. I've told y'all this story before. I'm going to tell y'all this story again. Speaking of stealing or whatever. All right. When I graduated college, there was a guy that I met in college that I knew in college, and we was cool. I think that he considered us to be more cool than he was. All right, you know, I on a low, he was a snitch. He was a snitch, and I, you know, like, you know how some dudes, they have an unhealthy, to me, an unhealthy relationship with the ladies. Sure, he was always trying to get some ass, and he got a lot of ass. But he got a lot of ass by making other dudes look bad. And he made them look bad by giving these chicks that he was messing around with surveillance. He was giving out information. Oh, yeah, he messed with this one, and he'd been creeping with that one, blah, blah, blah. You should give me some ass, not him. And he used to work for him. Anyway, make a long story short, because I wasn't supposed to know that that's how he played, but that wasn't hard to tell. So anyway. So, when I graduated college, he was still in college. And when he came home for one of his breaks or whatever, this before I was driving, he came to pick me up. He was like, yo, he came to my apartment, picked me up like, yo, oh, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm going to go to my man's house. We're going to watch the game and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right. So I just had this bottle of Moet. Remember White Star Moet? I ain't had no Dom Perignon. I couldn't afford no Dom Perignon at the time, but I had this bottle of White Star Moet. You know what I mean? So I was like, all right, you know what? Tell you what. You know what I mean? I'm going to take the bottle of Moet over the crib. You know what I'm saying? It was a nice little bottle of Moet, $30 champagne and all of that kind of shit. I'm sharing. Okay. So we go over the crib. The boy lived out in Jenkintown. He lived out in Jenkintown, right across the street. And those apartments right across the street for my Philly peeps who might know something about this. Right across the street from the Benihanas over there. It's not, no, not Benihanas, Hibachi. He lived in that little high-rise joint. So we went over there. I was like, oh, nice apartment. This is pretty cool. And he had a, this is like 1994. So he had a Sega Genesis. And he had the Sega Genesis hooked up to his stereo system. So when they played the Sega Genesis, it was like boom, boom. It was like, I was like, yo, that shit is fly. I was like, damn, I didn't know you could do that. Yeah, Sega Genesis. It's kind of dope. I wasn't even playing video games at this time. So they playing the games or whatever, and you know, I'm just checking them out. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm on the sidelines, you know, drinking my White Star Moet. I shared it with them, you know, but I'm drinking my portion. So I'm drinking whatever. I think we had some other beer there, whatever. You know, I'm bringing in the good shit. Anyway, to make a long story short, when I left the crib, when, you know, my man took me home and all of that kind of shit, like, yo, man, nice to meet you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I never met the boy. The next day, my man calls me talking about the boy said that a couple of his cartridges were missing. A couple of his Sega Genesis cartridges were missing. And I was like, why are you telling me? He was like, well, you know, I'm just asking, oh, because it was just us there. I'm like, what? He was like, yeah, I'm just saying, man. It was just us there. So he was wondering, did you borrow the car? I'm like, first of all, I don't even play the game. I don't own a video game system. And I'm like, and how am I going to look going over somebody's house to steal something? I'm like, yo, you see where I live? You see how I live? What are you talking about? He was like, I'm just saying, oh. I said, listen, tell your man this. Or if you can give him my number. You can call me or whatever. But tell him this. His cartridges are lost somewhere in the house. And if he takes some time out to look for them, he'll find them. I don't know nothing about it. And I don't appreciate you calling me even suggesting that. Like, come on, man, stop playing with me. I'm just saying, oh, you know. Blah. Nah, you ain't saying nothing. After that, I wasn't rocking with him no more. Like, who the fuck? First of all, if you felt like I was a thief in any type of way, why would you take me to your man's house? You know your man had nice shit. He lived there with his lady and his kids. You know, he had a son or whatever. You know, they was doing all right. This is before all the rest of us came up. So I'm like I said, I shared my White Star Moet with them. I felt like I had washed my face or wiped my face with a mildew rag. I was honestly and seriously pissed. I wasn't feeling that. And I wasn't feeling him. And guess what happened? Yeah, the boy searched his house and he found out that he misplaced his fucking cartridges. It was probably like NBA Live 94 or, you know, some shit like that. I don't care what it was. I didn't play that game. I still don't play Live. I can't play Live. I can't play Madden. I can't play NHL. I can't play MLB. I don't play them kind of games. I play simple games. Bow, bow, bow. Blow your head off. Blood splattering. Bones, fragments all over the place. That's the kind of shit I like. If I can't kill in a game, I ain't trying to dunk on you. That ain't fun in no video game. I don't even play games where it's two players. I'm home by myself all the time. One player game. I got one controller. Actually, I got like four controllers, but I never get a chance to play with anybody else. That's not the point. Back in 94, I wasn't playing no games. I didn't even know about that kind of stuff. For real. But yeah, that left a bad taste in my mouth, and it made me feel like I wiped my face with a mildew rag. It was ugly. But you live and you learn, you know. Ain't nothing, son. Ain't nothing. Ain't nothing. It's all good. So y'all may have had incidents similar to that, where your integrity was brought into question because of the actions of somebody else. Your integrity. Let's talk about the word integrity for a second. Integrity. Matter of fact, let's look up the word integrity. Integrity.
Sam's West Incorporated is an American chain of membership-only retail warehouse clubs owned and operated by Walmart Incorporated, founded in 1983 and named after Walmart founder Sam Walton. As of January 31st, 2019, Sam's Club ranked second in sales volume among warehouse clubs with $57.839 billion in sales behind rival Costco Wholesale.
Okay. Integrity. The quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. Moral uprightness. Synonyms. Honesty. Uprightness. Probity. Rectitude. Honor. Honorableness. Your integrity. Your integrity. Like when your integrity is in question, yeah. Your honesty is in question. Your trust, excuse me, your trustworthiness is in question. It's like asking, like, is this guy all right? Can I have them around my kids? If something goes down, will they tell the truth about what happened? Or will they look out for themselves or blame somebody else or try to shift blame or deflect? Your integrity. Somebody's ability to believe that what you are saying is true. You know, keeping it 100, being 100%. Your integrity. So when your integrity comes into question because of no fault of your own, no actions of your own, it's like wiping your face with a mildew rag. You did nothing to deserve this type of scrutiny and treatment. But there it is. Surprise, nigga. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You know? And it can make you feel that way because that's not what you came, that's not what you came there for. It's like going to a store to buy something that you really, really wanted. You've researched it. You've looked all around. You've price checked and all of that kind of stuff. And when you go to go buy that album, that item, you find out that it's a straight knockoff. And you're like, God damn it. Well, no wonder it was so cheap. Yeah. Your integrity. Remaining solid. Your integrity, remaining solid, solid, standing strong. The integrity of this of these floorboards. Don't nobody want to stand or have you ever stood? Have you ever stood on a surface that had very little integrity? Where you are kind of afraid that you might fall through the floor. Have you ever seen somebody step on a floorboard that didn't have enough integrity, that wasn't sure, and they actually did fall into the damn floor? It ain't cool. It ain't cool. It ain't cool. It's not cool, homie. Like wiping your face with a mildew rag. It stinks. It stinks and it lingers. Even when you get the smell off of you, you still smell it. It's like the stench. It's like the stench of decomposition. Yeah. A body that is decomposing. Decomposition, right? Yeah, decomposition. You can't, even when they remove the body, even when you clean up and everything, you will never forget the smell of a dead body, especially if that dead body meant something to you. Like the person that was in that body was somebody that you love. You won't forget that smell. It will stay with you. It'll be like, you'll be asking God, like, why did I have to see? It's bad enough that that person died. Why did I have to see them in that state? That's the kind of shit that I have you questioning heaven and hell and all of that kind of stuff. You understand what I'm talking about? Understand what I'm talking about? That's for real. Like wiping your face with a mildew rag. Wiping your face with the mildew. Wiping your face with the mildew rag. Rat, 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 rat. Wiping your face with the mildew rag. Rat, 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 rag. It's not something that you're going to forget. It's something that's going to stay with you all day. For right or wrong, good or bad, or indifferent. You was just trying to do something nice for somebody. Or you was just trying to go about
your business, excuse me,
your business of minding your business. And look what happened. Look what happened to you, homie. You got caught out there, and it's unfair. You got caught out there, and it's unfair. If y'all would like to call into the show, I invite y'all to call in. And the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. Once again, the number to call is area code 319-527-6199. Press number 1, and that will let me know that you would like to speak. And then I will call you out by the last 4 digits of your telephone number. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. Whoa, 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 whoa. Make sure y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. Make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that we keep our integrity. Do you know? Like wiping your face with a mildew rag is unfair. Rather unfair, sir. It's not a good look, baby. Queen Monica Davis is all up in the house on the Instagram side. Thanks for coming on through. No, I said, that's what Uber is for. What if it happened before Uber ever came out? No, there wasn't always an Uber. Honestly, I ain't going to front. I don't like to use Uber. I mean, when you have to do it, you have to do it. But you can best believe if I'm driving, there will be no Uber. Nara says, here's one. Ooh, subletting a place that went in foreclosure. And you know anything, and you don't know anything until the sheriff comes to clear the premises. Oh, my God, man. For those who don't know what subletting is, your name is on a lease or a mortgage, and you rented the house out to somebody else while you lived somewhere else. They didn't pay the rent or the mortgage or whatever, and now the eviction process or the foreclosure process is in full and total absolute effect. Now, you may have let the person sublet or live in the place under the agreement that they would definitely keep up with the rent, the utilities, the upkeep of the place, everything. Because your name is the one that is going to get the bad credit if the bills don't get paid. So in Narissa's situation, in his example, you trusted the person to pay the bills. You know that they have enough money to pay the bills. What you didn't know is that sometimes they don't like to pay bills, and they don't. And unfortunately, they got real selfish on you, and they figured, well, it ain't in my name anyway. If things don't work out here, I can just go down and apply to get my own apartment, and I'll start fresh. But, you know, how people look a gift horse in the mouth. They look a gift horse in the mouth, so it's like, well, yeah, it was nice of you to let me use this apartment, but you only let me use this apartment or this house because you had another place and you was doing your thing over here and all of that. So, you know, I did need you and I did ask you could I stay in this place, but I see that you've taken me for granted. You know how people get on that bullshit. You do something for them and all of a sudden they flipping it on you, making it seem like you did for them something that really only benefited yourself, like you making a profit off of whatever they are doing or whatever you've done for them. When your kindness becomes a weakness, they look your gift horse right in the mouth. Yeah. That's a good one, Nars. That is. That's a very good one. Back in the day, crackheads taught me how to steal. And the way they taught me how to steal was they always made sure that when they stole something from somebody anywhere, that person could never fully blame them because there were other people there that could have done it too. See, I'm not diabolically evil enough to do that kind of shit. But you know, a lot of people look at deception. A lot of people look at deception as a form of intelligence. Yeah, I tricked such and such out of their dough. Oh, damn. Yeah, you outsmarted them. It's outsmarting somebody until somebody does it to you. Now you all mad. You all twisted. Your lip all, you all, I don't believe you. Why would you do that to me? I've done nothing but try to help you. I've been there for you. I was always a friend of you. I was always, yeah. But that's what happens when you look at deception as intelligence. You know who looks at deception as intelligence? Donald Trump. Made a fortune out of that shit. A fortune. Tricking people out of their money. Making them feel good about the money that they have invested in you as you shit on them. You straight shitted on them. Do dirt, get involved. Emily says, or the person that asked you about it took them trying to divert the attention off of them. Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of times the first person to speak up is the person that's guilty. They're so guilty. Guilty is charged. Guilty. Like wiping your face with a mildew rag. Yes. Nar says, ooh. A crackhead steals a sack of product and pits one dope boy against the other. Now, if a crackhead can do that, if a crackhead comes upon your stash, you got to eat that. You got to eat that one, homie. I've seen crackheads look for the stash. What, I mean, what do they think this is? They don't think that these dope boys collect their shit when they wrap up and go. I've literally seen them outside looking around, looking in the places where they saw the dope boys go and get the stash. Like they gonna leave the stash there. Like, look, this abandoned building over here, or this little brown paper bag in this alley. Yeah, nobody will suspect that. I'll just leave it there. Like wiping your face with a mildew rag. Wiping your face with a mildew rag. Have you ever cleaned your body with a mildew towel? The whole towel. You know what I'm talking about. You washed your clothes on Sunday. Didn't take them out of that washer until Thursday. Didn't check to see how they smell, or you smelled a little bit. You figured this is how human beings think. Once I put them in the dryer, that smell will go away. And it does. It seems like it does. Sure seems like it. So Like I said, you put the clothes in the washer and wash them on a Sunday. Didn't take them out of the washer until Thursday. I mean, you know, you were busy. Life calls. Then you threw them in the dryer on Thursday. Seemed all fresh. They was all fresh and clean when you took them out of the dryer. The whole load was fucked up. The whole load needs to be rewashed, but you didn't check all of that. You took it off, put it on, smelled a little something. You figure, that'll go away. Let you start sweating in the summertime and see how much that mildew smell go away. You smell like the dirty mop on three shifts. I don't know who did it. The first shift, second shift, third shift. But one of y'all trifling. How you going to... One of y'all trifling. How you going to win when you ain't right within? How you going to win when you ain't right within? How you going to win when you ain't right within? Yeah, let us begin. Speaking of Lauryn Hill, let me ask y'all something. You know, Lauryn Hill only really had one album. That second album don't count. Off of that first album, that iconic, classic, 9 million albums selling ass album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, what was your favorite song on that album? Now, you know, there were a lot of good songs on that album. What was your favorite song off the Lauryn Hill album? I'm just curious. Your favorite song off the Lauryn Hill, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill album. My favorite song easily is Everything. Everything is everything. Yeah. Easily. That's my favorite song. Easily. Yeah. And I like the whole album. That album was very, very easy to listen to. Still to this day, but that song Everything, when that shit come on, I'll be like, you mean to tell me she couldn't make another album? Everything is everything. What we yeah. All right. Kristen Wavy says hers was X Factor. That's a dope song. Her intros was the truth. You know, because Lauryn was like, yo, 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 yo. Is it all so simple then? But you'd rather make it hard. Loving you is like a battle, and we both come out with scars. Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, this shit was hot. That shit was hot. That's my number two. That's my number two favorite song off that album. So, wait, you like That Thing more than X Factor? Nar says Zion is the first one that pops out at me. Really? Zion? Wow. Wow, okay. Okay. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Well, since we, you know, since we having a little fun with it, and since, honestly, the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill album always reminded me of the Stevie Wonder Songs in the Key of Life album. And if you listen to a lot of the songs on Lauryn Hill's album, you can hear the Stevie Wonder influence in her music. So what was your favorite song off of Songs in the Key of Life? Now, I know that, not knowing the age of everybody, because the Songs in the Key of Life came out in 1976. So some people may not have been born who are listening to the show, watching the show. But the thing is, it doesn't matter what, like, I can speak on a Jimi Hendrix album. I might not have been born when it came out. It doesn't matter. That it doesn't mean that I didn't go back and listen to it. So what is your favorite song on the Songs in the Key of Life album, which honestly I think is probably the best album I've ever heard, hands down. Now, there's been a lot of great music, but Songs in the Key of Life was two albums. Now, granted, albums didn't used to have as many tracks on it back in the day as they do now. It doesn't matter. Songs in the Key of Life, song after song after song after song after song, from Alpha to Omega, until the needle dropped both albums, both sides, and ended like a dope-ass album. Kristen Wavy says, isn't she lovely? Okay. Okay. It's hard to say. I mean, you got to think of how many. I mean, first of all, the album had a lot of hits. But besides the hits, it had a lot of great songs. Shit, I like, when I have to say what my favorite song off that album was, it's like, I'm probably going to say, man, I like Saturn. Because, you know, Stevie Wonder deep. Saturn, Ebony Eyes. Isn't She Lovely? What's the song where the woman sends on at the end? You're just a masochistic fool. But my favorite song, if I had with a gun to my head, I would have to say my favorite song is. Cause I don't want to bore you with it. Oh, but I love you, I love you, I love you. I don't want to bore you with it. Oh, but I love you, I love you, I love you. More and more. With a gun to my head, that's what I would have to say. But all of his songs, I like the way they built up. They started at a place and they ended at a place. You know what I'm saying? So, in tune with what we were talking about, have you ever had high expectations for an album? You might have hyped this album up like, yo, I'm going to go get this album. This person is the greatest artist ever lived. And I'm trying to tell you, when I get this album is going to be the best album that we ever heard. Watch. And I'm coming back with the album. And you got the album, and the album is garbage. Unfortunately, Prince used to do that kind of shit. You hype Prince's album up like, yo, I'm trying to tell you, he about to do another Purple Rain. No, he never got close to another Purple Rain. Not every song. Prince played too much. Yeah, he was a musical genius. He could play every instrument. That's great. But he did too much weird shit. Can't you just make the best shit? He started getting all into his head and shit. He wanna play records backwards and listen to the words. You can hear it back. I don't want to hear that shit. I want another When Doves Cry, motherfucker. I want another Purple Rain. I want more songs where I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but the shit sound dope. And you know that Warner Brothers had to have told Prince, for the movie Purple Rain. Like, listen, you're going to score this whole movie. You can't be doing none of that weird shit you be doing, man. You're going to have – no. You're not going to be able to make any songs for yourself on this record. This is your biggest shot. This is your Michael Jackson's Thriller. This is your year. You cannot fuck this up. I know Prince had to be like,
All right.
It had to be a struggle. But yeah, you go and hype up this album like, yo, this joint gonna be the, I'm telling you, it's gonna be the bomb. You go get the album. You're like, that damn Nas. You don't know how to choose a beat, my brother. All these dope lyrics. And this beat selection. These songs not good enough. TK Wright says, I remember being accused of stealing work time after a decade of having a spotless reputation. I told them to pull the cameras and they did, and I was mad. A lot of typos in the paragraph there. A lot of typos. I could see that you probably was using that voice text, because ain't a lick of punctuation in that thing. You know what I'm saying? That's, yeah. But I'm gonna hold you down. Grits and Wavy says, I like Diamonds and Pearls. No, I says, I Want to Be Your Man was cool, but Roger had me shrugging my shoulders with the Unlimited album. TK Wright says, at least Prince would make it up to you in concert. But he didn't tour enough. And he was always threatening not to tour ever again. That was his thing. I'm out. I'm not touring. Nope. I make records for y'all, but I ain't. Nope, I'm not touring. Then after a while, he's like, "Nope, I'm not putting out no music. Not they until they give me my masters. Nope, no music, no music. They took my name. My real name is Prince Rogers Nelson. They tell me I can't call myself Prince. I'm putting up the symbol. Call me that. We can't. How do you pronounce that? What is that? It's call me that. Weirdo. May rest in peace." But yeah, Prince, I mean, when he dropped a really dope album, it was probably at the time when you was like, oh, no, this is going to be some bullshit. And you're like, oh, my God. He did it again. He ain't going to do it twice in a row. One good, one bad. One good, one bad. That was his M.O. Like wiping your face with a mildew rag. Well, the difference between buying an album or whatever that you had high expectations, or another product that you had high expectations for that may have fallen flat, and wiping your face with a mildew rag, is that the mildew rag comes from trying to do something nice for somebody else and winding up doing something that you totally disagreed with, and it's sticking with you the whole day and making you feel dirty and nasty and trifling and disgusting. That's the difference. That's the difference that we're talking about here, y'all. Yeah, the Sign of the Times album was good. The Sign of the Times album was good. That was his one good. See? The one before then with Raspberry Beret on it, that was bad. Now, how you going to follow up Purple Rain album with that Raspberry Beret shit? Like, nobody want to hear that shit? Crazy? She had a Raspberry Beret. Fuck out of here. Don't nobody want to hear that. They don't. Don't nobody want to hear that. It's the kind you find in a secondhand store. This is the kind of album and the song that you find in a secondhand store. Fuck out of here. Album suck. I don't even remember the name of it. It should have been called the Sucky Album. But it probably wasn't. Yeah, man, you know. Yeah, because the Sign of the Times album had Adore on it. That song alone could make an album. Like, song was fucking fire. Like, fire. So, yeah, man. So, let me give y'all another example. Okay. Maybe a situation where you've had two friends, maybe you had two mutual friends, and then you find out that one of the friends is doing the other friend dirty, and they help, and they got your help to do them bad. Mutual friends or mutual contacts. I was on this tour before, comedy tour. It was a small tour, but, you know, we had dates and we was getting money and we was traveling and it was going well. The year was 2000. Well, this was 2006 going into 2007. So we thinking like, all right, we got it popping in 2006, 2007, we going to light it on fire. In the beginning of 2007, we get this big show out in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Now you thinking like a big show in Allentown. Well, the promoter was giving up cash. And he was also, they had commercials on the radio and all of that and Power 99 and all that shit. So we're going to go out and we're going to rock it out. Now, the two people that are on the tour, one of them that put the tour together and the other one that actually got us that booking. Now, the one that got us the booking, he's feeling like, well, look, I'm the one who got us this show, so I should have a bigger lion's share of the profits. Don't sound far-fetched to us. I mean, to me. But the manager and the top comedian on the tour didn't agree with it. So those two didn't agree. They couldn't get along for some reason. I don't really understand what it was about because they were very similar, you know. But anyway, so they really weren't getting along. So when we are finally getting ready to do this show, the whole relationship between those two had reached a fever pitch. It had reached a fever pitch, and it wasn't a good look. So the top comedian told me, listen, when he go on stage tonight, we going to fuck up his show. And by we, he meant him. So only thing he was doing to mess up the show was this. He said, well, since he feel like he the top dog because he got this booking, what we're going to do is instead of me being the headliner, I'm going to go on first. Now, I'm like, why y'all got to tell me this shit? Why y'all got to tell me? This was pretty much the beginning of me starting to lose confidence in this comedy bullshit. Because I'm like, I'm not with all of that. I'm not, like, y'all don't mean enough to me. I just met y'all through this show business shit. I don't know y'all like that. To be taking sides here, to be keeping secrets here. and all of that. But you putting me in situations like that, I'm like, oh, my God. So I got to make a decision. Am I going to tell the boy what they planning on doing? Or what do I do? Because what if I tell him what they planning on doing and then they have a change of heart and they don't do it? So what do I do? Tell them, be on notice just in case them cats try to go on first and mess up the order of the thing, throw you off. That type of shit. Niggas! Nigga! To make a long story short, that tour ended that night. The relationship between us and the manager ended that night. It didn't officially end. It sizzled out because of the situation where if you weren't taking sides before, now you had to take sides. And I took a side. I took the side of myself. Fuck y'all niggas. Why would I want to be dealing with some cats that's going to fuck up their money? Why would you, y'all met each other trying to get money. How could your focus be on anything else besides getting the money? You had a nice little, tour package going on. The comedians that this manager was managing, all of them were good. We was getting it in. Narjo says, saying something about innocent, nobody will be home until 7. Can be the green light for a robbery to take place. You ain't never done lied. Ugh. Let's do these birthday shout-outs, y'all. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. March 26th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them, making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Joe Medley, turning 52 years old today, and also Albert Isaias Vasquez Vargas, happy birthday to you. And Nona Baldwin, turning 25 years old today. And Andrea Smith, turning 57 years old today. And Candace Logan, turning 36 years old today. And my man Robert Howard III, happy birthday to you, my brother. And Keith Tyler, my man, go get it, Keith Tyler, my brother, turning the big 5-0. Look at you. Look at you, young man. Keith calls into the show periodically or whatever. He used to call into the show a lot back in the day. That's my man. He's definitely a great team member. And last but not least, going all the way back to the 1989, my girl Danya Searles. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. March 26th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud, just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on and do the dance, the damn, the rock out, rock on and do the damn, rock out, rock on and do the damn thing, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours. And remember, man, when you put your faith and trust and confidence in somebody and they use the faith, trust, and confidence that you've instilled in them to get you involved in some shit that you have to explain your way out of or think your way out of or sometimes even pray your way out of, man, that ain't cool. And it feels like you wipe your face with a mildew rag. You wipe your face with a mildew. Wipe your face face with a mildew rag. Wipe your face with a mildew rag. You smell real bad, yeah. Real, real bad. Now you real mad that the thing went down the way that it did. But yo, yo, kid, you can clean up with a mildew rag and some water with some soap in it. I hope that your day gets better, and I'm sure that you light it up just like a Coca-Cola sweater. I'm a letter nigga. No, what time it is, we got to do this thing. Yo, hers and his. It would be easy for me to just say, make sure that you don't let nobody play you in life. But the whole point of things being like you wipe your face with a mildew rag is that you wasn't looking to get played. As a matter of fact, you probably would have put good money down that there's no way you're going to get played. But things happen, events happen, life happens, and we got to roll with the punches. It's going to be all right, though. Take every lesson that's learned to teach another lesson to those who need to learn that as you learn yours. Sometimes the hardest lessons are the ones that stick with us the most. Sometimes. And you don't have to, don't get me wrong, there doesn't always have to be violence in order to drive a point home. But you can instill pain in somebody without ever punching, kicking, slapping, stabbing, shooting, or directly physically hurting. You can still inflict pain on somebody. So remember that. So that smell, that mildewy smell that you had from wiping your face with a rag that you thought was clean, never forget that. It doesn't have to make you bitter, and it doesn't have to make you suspicious, but make sure that it makes you smarter and keeps you on notice to the point where somebody will think twice before putting you in that position. They're going to try you, though. But just like the best defense against gentrification is ownership, the best defense against you getting played is knowledge of self. Self-awareness and understanding human nature in its true form. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. Love y'all right back to life. We will be back on tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. for the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I hope y'all like listening to this show as much as I enjoyed broadcasting it. Make sure that y'all hit that like button. Make sure that you share the show. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the conclusion of the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. So let me get my blog talkers on up out of here. I say I holler back. I'll see you tomorrow, dear.